When my mother named me Ophelia, she thought she was being literary. She didn't realize she was being tragic. But then, I'm not sure she understood the concept of tragedy, the same way that people who are born into money don't realize they're rich, don't even know there's another way to live. She thought the name was beautiful, thought it sounded like a flower, knew it was from a famous story, play or novel, she wouldn't have been able to tell you. I guess I should consider myself lucky, since her other choices were Lolita and Gypsy Rose. At least Ophelia had some dignity. I'm thinking this as I push a cart through the produce aisle of my local supermarket, past rows of gleaming green apples and crisp blooms of lettuce, of fat, shiny oranges and taut, waxy red peppers. The overly familiar man in meats waves at me and gives me what I'm sure he thinks is a winning smile, but which only serves to make my skin crawl. "Hi, honey," he'll say, or "Hi, sweetie." And I'll wonder what it is about me that invites him to be so solicitous. I am certainly not an open or welcoming person. I can't afford to be too friendly. Of course, I can't afford to be too unfriendly either. I look at my reflection in the metal siding of the meat case to confirm that I am aloof and unapproachable, but not strangely so. My reflection is warped and distorted by the various dings and scars in the metal. "Hi there, darling," he says with an elaborate sweep of his hand and a slight bow. I give him a cool smile, more just an upturning of the corner of my mouth. He steps aside with a flourish to let me pass. I have become the type of woman who would have intimidated my mother. Most days, I pull my freshly washed, still wet blonde hair back severely into a ponytail at the base of my neck. The simplicity of this appeals to me. I wear plain, easy clothes, a pair of cropped chinos and an oversized white cotton blouse, beneath a navy barn jacket. Nothing special, except that my bag and my shoes cost more than my mother might have made in 2 months. She would have noticed something like that. It would have made her act badly, turned her catty and mean. I don't feel anything about this. It's a fact, plain and simple, as facts tend to be. Well, some of them, anyway. But I still see her in my reflection, her peaches and cream skin, her high cheekbones, her deep brown eyes. I see her in my daughter, too. "Annie? Hello?" I'm back in produce, though, honestly, I don't remember what caused me to drift back here. I am holding a shiny, ripe nectarine in my hand. I must have been gazing at it as if it were a crystal ball, trying to divine the future. I look up to see my neighbor, Ella Singer, watching me with equal parts amusement and concern. I'm not sure how long she has been trying to get my attention or how long I've been staring at the nectarine. We're more than neighbors. We're friends, too. Everyone here calls me Annie, even Gray, who knows better.
"Where were you?"
she asks. "Sorry," I say with a smile and a quick shake of my head, just out of it. "You okay?" "Yeah, good, great." She nods, grabs a few nectarines of her own. "Where's Vicky?" All the women in our neighborhood, her teachers, her friends' mothers, call my daughter Vicky. I don't correct them, but it always makes me cringe internally. It's not her name. I named her Victory because it meant something to me, and I hope in time it will mean something to her. True, I named her in a fit of overconfidence, but Gray understood my choice and agreed. We were both feeling overconfident that day. I'm still clinging to that feeling. Though recently, for reasons I can't explain, it has begun to fade. "She's with Gray's stepmom. Swimming lessons with Grandma," I say, dropping the fruit into a clear plastic bag. The nectarines give off a fresh, sweet aroma. They are almost to the point of being overripe, fairly bursting with themselves. An old woman inches past, heavily leaning on an aluminum walker. Some mangled Muzak version of Don't Stand So Close to Me by the Police plays tinny and staticky from unseen speakers. That's nice, Ella says with a nod. Time for a cappuccino? I look at my watch, as if calculating whether or not I can fit it into my busy schedule, even though we both know I have nothing else to do and victory will be ours yet, between the swimming lessons and her favorite lunch and time with the neighborhood kids. They're all bigger, older boys, but she commands them like a queen, and they love her for it. Sure, I say, and Ella smiles. Great, meet you over there when you're done. She means the little spot by the beach where we always go. See you in a few. She pushes off. I like Ella a lot. She is so easy, so warm and open, so trusting and unfailingly kind. She makes me feel bad about myself, as though I'm some icy bitch. I smile and give her a small wave. My heart is doing a little dance. I think it's just that I've had too much caffeine already, and my heart is protesting the thought of more. Maybe I'll just have some chamomile.